Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses. Hello everyone. Welcome back to Recovery Rocks. It's your girl, Tawny, joined by my fabulous bestie, co-host, love of my life,
Lisa.
Hello.
So good to see you.
You as well. Good to see you and hear you today. We are going to do an episode tentatively titled You Did Dry January. Now what? So,
right.
Basically,
right. I thought sort of after dry January.
Yeah, that's great. Like dry January and beyond.
Right. Or even if you had a damp January.
Yeah, whatever. Or even if, so we're going to talk about dry January and really just remind you to give yourself grace on your sober, sober curious, alcohol free, however you identify. Give yourself grace. You know, maybe you tried dry January and maybe you didn't stay fully sober all of the days. Maybe you did, like you said, a damp January, which is starting to take off. The whole point, I think, at least for me, Lisa, is like, I think dry January is wonderful because it introduces mindful drinking. You know,
yes.
It helps people become more mindful of when they're drinking, when they're not drinking, which situations make them want to drink more, which people or places or activities make them think they need to grab a drink. It really just gives you a chance to reset. And even if you don't completely give up alcohol for that month, I think just being more aware of how you drink is a win. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think that what is really cool about one of the things that's really cool about the fact that, you know, dry January has grown into this thing that it has grown into is that now, you know, like you and I have talked many times about the fact that we don't make New Year's resolutions, you know, and as we like to think about it, what we're going to leave behind in the year that ended, you know, looking forward to leaving certain things behind. But so many people's New Year's resolutions have always been, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to do this or that. And like I said, we don't, you know, resolutions aren't our thing, but I think dry January is put on the map that when we're reassessing what we want for the new year in terms of our health, in terms of well-being, whatever it is, that previously I'm going to, you know, take a month off drinking wasn't even in the conversation. Right. And now it is. And it's become more and more mainstream. And I think exactly like you said, what it does is it points up the fact that you don't have to say I'm going to quit drinking. It's an issue of I think I'm going to be aware of my drinking and more mindful and, you know, sort of not do it in an automatic way, but look at why I'm drinking. You know, why I might want to cut back, why I might want to stop and learn about, like, that's one of the things I think it's so great about Dry January is there's so much out there that it's an opportunity to see all these articles and discussions and media, podcasts, wherever, about the benefits of cutting back or leaving alcohol behind. And that was never a conversation before, you know, so it's just been really, I think, eye-opening. In a lot of ways. What do you think?
No, I completely agree with you. And, you know, it's something that I saw this year for maybe the first time. If I saw it last year, I don't really remember. But I remember seeing this year people are doing like no spend January or eating out January or no takeout or, you know, people are. I think the concept of a dry month is giving people other ideas giving other people opportunities to evaluate other substances or behaviors in their life. Like I know people who do like who are not drinkers, but they'll participate in Dry January and just like they don't smoke weed for a month. Or,
yeah,
you know, it really just gives you a chance to reset. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, if, you know, Dry January didn't go the way you wanted it to go, you could do a Dry February, Dry March, you know, and you could find a buddy to do it with you, you know. And yeah. I think what makes Dry January a little easier is that you do have, you know, more people are doing it. So it's just easier. It's easier, yeah, because like you said, there's so much content out there. There's so many podcast episodes and news segments and articles and like discussing the benefits, like you just said. So it's easy. Like there's this momentum around it. Whereas if you do a Dry February or a Dry March, you might not have as much content surrounding you, but there's, you know, it really just reminds me of like, you know, there's never a perfect time to quit drinking. You know, there's never a perfect time,
right,
to start therapy. There's never a perfect time to address your childhood trauma. It's just something that you have to decide, I'm going to do this today. And it's very one day at a time.
100%. That reminds me of, I don't know if you remember the old movie Airplane. That's like a spoof.
One of my favorite movies.
I think it's Leslie Nielsen. Oh no, it was Bo Bridges, I think. Oh, Lloyd Bridges.
I picked the wrong day to quit. What is it? Sniffing
looks
glue.
Looks like I picked the wrong day to quit sniffing glue. Going on and on. Like there's never going to be the right day. There is just the day that, you know, we take a decision. Let's try it today. You know, and with the end, I think of January or whatever month, you know, so for October, whatever it is, I think what's important, I don't know, this is just me, but like I always do, and I think a lot of us in recovery do kind of cringe when we see people like celebrating the end of their Dry January with a giant martini you know, like, yay, I made it. Because that, to me, when that's the case, it's like, okay, I proved to myself I don't need it, right? I proved to myself I cannot drink for a month, so I can go a month without alcohol. So therefore, I don't need to look at my drinking at all anymore, right? I'm A-okay, and bring on, you know, as many martinis as, you know, as I can get down. And that, I think, is, you know, that's a different. To me, ideally coming out of Dry January, it would be a great opportunity to sit back and say, okay, like, you know, as we love to do, like make lists or look, you know, start writing down, like what felt different, what felt good, what felt bad, you know, what might I want to incorporate going forward? Maybe, you know, maybe I want to just keep going like this, you know, one day at a time on any path I choose to cut back or cut it out altogether. But I think like the intentionality, to not have it go out the window as soon as it's February 1.
Definitely. And we love little reflection prompts like that. You know, like I end each section of my book with reflection questions that you could, you know, just because it could be really easy to, you know, read a book or have this experience. But if you're not reflecting on what you just did, you're not going to have as full of an experience as you possibly could. And it really gives you a chance to learn more about yourself. You know, like we've said before, you know, if you are doing a dry month or reevaluating your relationship with a substance, figuring out why you're doing it is, I would say, not required, but I think it's pretty freaking important for you to figure out why you're doing it.
100%. I mean, I think, you know, journaling or making notes or whatever, keeping track during Dry January is great. Like, I had a stressful day at work and I really wanted to drink tonight, you know, as a de-stressor, it helps you identify what those behaviors are and, you know, what's behind that. And then, you know, understanding that better. I don't know, for me, like I feel like when I was, you know, for it, drinking was just what adults did as I grew up, yeah. right? Like, you, end of the day, parents poured a drink, poured drinks and had happy hour, or happy hour, they called it cocktail hour, and, you know, toasted to each other's health. And it was completely automatic. It was not ever a question of, you know, am I going to drink tonight or am I not? It was just like, what happens at 5 o'clock? And then, you know, like, they were social drinkers. They stopped. They would have one or two, and then they were done. And, you know, they didn't drink alone. They didn't drink, you know, all of these other things. But so for me, it was so normalized of, it's the end of the day. You drink. It's just what you do. And I think a lot of us are sort of, you know, can be out there like that. And whether it's like do every day coming home from work, or, you know, not having left home for work, or, you know, whether it's just like, yeah, I'm going out with friends tonight, so of course I'm going to drink. You know, it's just an opportunity to question, but why do I want, you know, what is it? What is it that, and it always goes back to that question of, what is alcohol adding? Right.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of dry January, or any kind of dry period or damp period, you can look at it and go, you know, would this have been better if I had been drinking? And I think
probably
the
not.
Answer is probably not, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where all of my years of binge drinking where I was like, yeah, that was such a good idea. I'm so glad I got shit-faced for that event.
Right.
I'm so glad I don't remember that concert that I spent hundreds of dollars on the tickets for. I've never said that.
I'm so glad I lost my phone.
Yeah, I'm so glad I drove drunk last night. I mean, like,
Right. It's,
you know, it's wild. I look back at that version of me and it really feels like watching a movie. Do you feel like that?
Oh, totally. Totally. And I kind of, like, when I was in it, I kind of felt like, this doesn't feel like a real life.
Yeah.
Especially at the end. Because it wasn't a real, I mean, it was my real life, but it wasn't a conscious life or a life that I was, you know, happy to wake up in.
We were sick. You know,
yes.
We were sick. Mm-hmm. I was very reckless. I lived a very reckless life. And I think what makes dry January and normalizing, destigmatizing drinking less, I think what makes it so great is that it gives people a chance to reevaluate where they are in their lives without getting to the point that you and I got.
Yes. Yes. It's all about that. I mean, to me, like, somebody's taking a dry January because, you know, they feel like, you know, they're, and particularly I think about our friend Jolene Park, who's going to be on the podcast with us soon, who really talks about gray area drinking, right? If you're a gray area drinker where, you know, you don't necessarily, you're not physically addicted. You don't have to drink every night. You don't, you know, you don't always get wasted, but you see that you're relying on it as a coping mechanism and as a de-stressor and a tool. You know, I think dry January is a really good, or any kind of period. And again, even if it's damp, to say, like, what was I shutting down, you know, and do I want to, you know, adopt something different going forward.
That's so real. And it also gives you, you know, if you ask yourself why you're doing these things, these are questions you can take to your therapist. You know, these are questions you can talk to your friends about, because, like, the whole point of, you know, getting sober or being in recovery is to stop self-medicating and figure our shit out and live a healthy life. You know, and I think that people who still drink can still do that. You know, you can still, if you take a month off or you cut back, you can still go to therapy. You know, you can still go to support groups. You can still talk to your friends about the difficult stuff that's coming up. And, you know, there's, like we always say, there's no one way to get sober or question your relationship with alcohol. or substances in general. It really is what works for you. And I think the more mindful and the more present you can be with your present life and what about it makes you want to drink, then that is really where the transformation can happen.
Yes. And you learn your triggers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's textbook stuff. Now, you know I self-medicated because I was depressed. I was anxious. I had body image issues. I had childhood trauma, PTSD, complex PTSD. I had all this stuff going on inside of me and I had no language for it, but I knew that I felt uncomfortable and high key miserable without alcohol or drugs or something numbing me. So, you know, a big question a common question that I get in my line of work is, you know, how can I feel more confident without alcohol? And it really is, people don't like that my answer is you have to do the work to figure out why you rely on alcohol in the first place. There is no direct one-to-one replacement for a shot of tequila or the fleeting confidence that a shot of tequila will give you. You have to do the work. And a lot of people who do dry January are not, or do a dry month in general, are not interested in doing work. They're just like, I'm just not going to drink for a month. And that's it. That's totally fine. That's a totally fine option.
Yeah.
I think what Lisa and I are just saying is these are maybe some ways to like level up your experience, reflect on your experience, and just be more mindful about your experience.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the other thing I think that is interesting coming out of, it's not just how did not drinking make me feel coming out of a dry month, but also, you know, I see more and more that people are doing different kinds of gatherings during Dry January, trying different things, you know, maybe a different form of exercise or a different, you know, I always wanted to, you know, I don't know, start knitting, you know, whatever it is, finish a book in bed without falling asleep. You know, those things we can also learn, you know, take with you out of the month, the things that you discovered were even more enjoyable or newly enjoyable during that month.
And the people, right? The people that maybe the people that maybe gave you shit for doing a dry month might be a good time to think about if that's someone that you want to keep in your life, someone who's not supporting you doing something to make yourself feel better. Is that who you want? Is that who you want to have brunch with every Sunday? And on the other side of that, who really showed up for you? Who was really supportive for you this month? Who was like, I really want to hang out with you. I know you're doing Dry January. How about we get tea? How about we go to a movie? How about I come over and we cook? You know, who showed up for you this month? I think it's really important to take note of who challenged you and who supported you.
I think that's a really great way of thinking about it. And also, you know, it is, because there are more and more events, I feel like if you met people that you thought were cool at some kind of event or in some kind of, you know, something you attended or somebody you connected with in a social media group about Dry January, like these are things like that can be kept up. Doesn't mean you never drink again, but maybe you bring with you forward into 2024 more of the people that, you know, you met or like you said, that really did support you and did want to, you know, that if you're deciding, hey, this was a pretty good thing, maybe I'm not going to quit altogether, but I'm going to cut back, or maybe I am going to quit altogether. I see where it could go. Or I realized how much better I felt in January when I wasn't drinking, how much better I slept, you know, how much more energy I had, all of those things. And so I'm going to keep it up. What's next? You know, what do you take with you that surrounds you? I think just getting away from the idea of saying, of treating it like it's a challenge and then you've mastered that challenge and you see you next year. You know what I'm saying? Like you can treat it as, you know, more than that.
You really can. And, you know, if you want to treat it, you this is your life. This is your experience. There's no wrong way to go about it. We're just throwing some suggestions out there. It really could be like some people also do like, you know, a whole 30 in January, right, where they eat a whole, you know, a super clean diet. It's just, there's so many different ways to hit reset on your life. And if, you know, again, I already said this, but I'm going to repeat it. If your January did not go the way you wanted it to go,
yeah,
try again, you know,
yeah,
it's fine. Try again this month.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It is not that, that is not it, the idea of like, well, I wanted to do dry January, but I didn't really do it. And so, you know, I'm just going to pretend that never happened.
Well, it's you know, what
you
is
can
that,
say, you know, yeah. Okay. Like this, I'm going to try again this month, or I'm going to try this week, or I'm going to try today. That's
today.
It.
I mean, or this particular, maybe just this event, you know, I normally drink when I go to these types of events. I'm just not going to drink tonight, you know, like, and maybe you save that glass of wine for when you get home, and then maybe you realize you don't even want it. You know, it just really giving yourself these opportunities to give yourself grace. I think maybe that's really the essence of what you and I are saying is be really kind to yourself and, life is really freaking hard right now. There's a lot of external pressure put on us already. So any pressure you can take off of yourself to just give yourself some kindness, now is a really good time to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is, I think one of the things also just to mention that I've heard people say coming out of a dry January when they first stop anyway, regardless, is that, and I think like you kind of touched on it when you said people are drinking less today, is that maybe you notice, did you notice another thing to note, you know, people around you are, cause I know for me, it was shocking when I went to my first work event and saw that some people were just drinking. I mean, this was 2004, so, you know, there was zero NA scene. So, you know, but people were drinking like Diet Coke or a club soda.
Yeah.
And when I was drinking, I never noticed that. And one of the things that I always feared was that I'd stick out so much and everybody would be staring at me, you know, if I wasn't drinking. And as if everybody cared so much about what I had in my hand and what I was pouring down my throat. So, you know, there's a lot, I think it's worth, you know, really taking stock of what did work, what you might have noticed, who you might have met, things you might have done, how you felt, all those things.
Yeah. And the taking note is so huge. And it's also on the giving yourself grace moment. It's also keeping in mind, this reminds me of the, what is it? Broken window syndrome. You know, like when a house has a broken window, you just kind of let it go. That's the saying, but it's, you know, that shows up in our daily life of like, if your screen on your phone is cracked, are you just going to stomp on it? Probably not. You're still going to use your phone. You'll probably get a new one or get the screen repaired or something. But it's this, I think it applies here of like, okay, you attempted a dry month. You had a drink with a friend. It happened.
That's,
you know,
fine.
Like the rest of the month, the rest of the year, whatever, is not, it's not gone to shit.
No, it's not, you know, defined like just, by it. That's right.
Just start over. And that's totally, totally fine.
Absolutely. It's so funny you say that about, I have one of those plastic things protecting my screens. And I ordered whatever I ordered. It was a pack of like two of them. And I've got the one on. This plastic thing has been cracked like crazy. Like you can barely see what's on the phone. And it's been months. In fact, it's been over a year now because I can remember near the end of my mom's life, she was like, "What's wrong with your phone?" And it's still that way, right? And she, you know, it's been, you know, over a year now. And I have the replacement right upstairs. Like I could change it In fact, I may change it after we record
this conversation.
But after this conversation, but like that's the kind of thing where it's like I'm not beating myself up about the fact that I was walking around with a cracked, you know, plastic cover. I can replace it.
You can replace
it. And I think I'll do that.
And like you're not a horrible person. You're not
no,
a piece
of. No, it doesn't make me a bad person.
No, it's these are again this. I think what we're just trying to say here is that shit happens, and. Yeah. And we're humans and life is really hard. So why not be nice to yourself when you can?
That's right. Give yourself grace. It is.
Give yourself grace. Do we have any music for this?
I thought about when we were talking about this and just how like not making it all about, you know, we had to do Drudge January perfectly or we had to whatever and how, you know, we can always start again. I thought about The Long and Winding Road by the Beatles.
And now I'm thinking Every Day is a Winding Road by Sheryl Crow.
Oh my God, perfect. Perfect, perfect.
I was also thinking of Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's saying, thank you. You've been so kind and generous. And, you know, maybe that can be a song for yourself. Being kind to yourself.
Totally. Yeah. Be gentle and, you know, no one does any of this stuff perfectly.
No. And it's so nonlinear. Recovery, sobriety, sober curiosity, life. It is all nonlinear. It is not. And what I mean by that is like, you don't just go from point A to point B with no detours and no distractions. It's fine.
Lindsay Mack, who I learn all my tarot stuff from at Soul Tarot, she calls it spiralic, right? Everything
I like that.
Is spiralic. And we're all just moving as we're moving. So,
well, and I feel like that keeps with the every day is a winding road.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I love that. I may have to listen to Sheryl Crow today.
She's so great. I will say, I got to see... Talking about Sheryl Crow and Natalie Merchant's reminding me, I got to see both of them at Lilith Fair back in the day.
Oh my God.
Way, you know, back in the day. If you don't know what Lilith Fair is, it was, you know, in the mid to late 90s, Sarah McLachlan tried to go on tour with another woman. I want to say Joan Osborne, but I'm not sure. And her,
Joan Osborne.
I think so. And her tour manager was like, "We can't put two women on the same bill. No one's going to go to that." This was not that long ago, you guys. This was in the late 90s. So Sarah McLachlan says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but Sarah McLachlan says, "Fuck you. I'm putting together an entire festival of all women musicians," and she did, and it was called Lilith Fair. And it was every summer for a couple years. And I am so it was trailblazing, groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And the fact that I got to go was one of my favorite concert memories. And quickly,
Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls.
Melissa Etheridge.
Sixpence None the Richer was there.
Yeah.
This is like Christina Aguilera was there. She was brand new. Missy Elliott. I mean, it was all genres.
Yeah, it was a very big deal.
And Ani DeFranco, just really incredible women, musicians, singer-songwriters. And quickly, I'll also add, women are still breaking records today. I remember that Taylor Swift's Eras Tour broke so many records, but her Reputation Tour, I think in 2018, was the very first tour that sold out MetLife Stadium. I think she played for like a week straight or 3 or 4 days straight. Very first tour at MetLife Stadium that was all women that sold out MetLife. It was her, Charlie XCX, and Camila Cabello. So the fact that in 2018, I saw another record-breaking female tour is like kind of sad. The fact, you know, like I'm glad that I saw.
I was just gonna say it's pretty cool that you were present for both of those.
I mean, yes, I'm glad that I was present for them, but I'm also like, when I heard that news, I'm like, really? this is like, we're still breaking records. Like,
we're still doing this. Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's what I mean by sad is that it's, and you know, that's just, you know, white women, you know, there's a whole other conversation that we could have with this, but I have, we've gone so far from the topic of Dry January. Now I'm just talking about concert and,
it happens,
record breaking, but whatever. Moral of the story, give yourself grace and listen to Sheryl Crow, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, Sobriety Party, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.